In the past year, national attention has turned to safety for the fishing fleet, especially for the head and gut boats. Just in the past week, two men have gone overboard and died here in the Aleutians. Congress is currently considering a new bill that would make fishing vessel inspections mandatory rather than voluntary, and would increase other safety measures for all boats larger than 50 feet. Charlie Metalcott is a commercial fishing examiner for the Coast Guard unit here in Unalaska. He's been inspecting boats for 17 years. I spoke with him about the new bill and how safety inspections and techniques are changing in the local fisheries. He says safety in the Bering Sea is improving, in a large part due to stability checks. Before vessels go out, he checks to make sure they don't have too much weight on board and that they're properly loaded in accordance to their stability books. This greatly reduced problems for the crab fleet, and the Coast Guard is trying to do the same for other types of boats, especially the head and gut fleet.
The vessels that are in our what we call our ACSA program, or the Alternative Compliant Safety Agreement program, the vessels that people refer to as head and gut vessels, yes, all of their stability books have had to have been updated, and their stability criteria is checked by us when we do their annual inspections.
Has it seemed to improve the safety within that fleet?
I think so. I don't think the program's really been around long enough for anybody to make a real determination based on, you know, accident figures or casualty numbers. But any time we can do things like make vessels maintain their watertight doors or add watertight closures to places where they didn't have them before, one would assume that that's going to improve safety. And it also raises the awareness of the people who are operating the vessel about how to load their vessel and how to operate their vessel safer.
It's the head and gut fleet that's been getting a lot of attention because that's where a lot of the fatalities have occurred recently. What else should be or is in the process of being done to improve safety within that fleet?
Again, the head and gut fleet, after the Arctic Rose and the Galaxy investigations were completed, the Coast Guard became aware that most of the vessels that are so-called head and gut vessels were in fact actually processing vessels. They were doing more than heading and gutting and freezing fish. We found that out when we started to analyze their reporting data that they're required by NIMS to report on what kind of products they're making. So vessels were doing collars, tongues, stomachs, roe, et cetera, et cetera. That is beyond heading and gutting. And because they were then processing vessels, they would be required to be classed and load lined. Most of the vessels that were, quote, head and gut vessels couldn't get classed and load lined because of their age and because of prohibitive costs involved in doing that kind of work. The Coast Guard exempted them from classification and load lining and created what we call the Alternate Compliant Safety Agreement Program, or ACSA program, which in effect, basically the Coast Guard is classifying and load lining these vessels now. So they're having to, every 2.5 years, for instance, they have to do dry docks that are attended by Coast Guard Marine inspectors. So they're getting, you know, internal examinations, the hull, all the fittings, all the through-hull fittings, watertight doors, fire protection standards, safety equipment, all kinds of stuff is being looked at now by the Coast Guard that wasn't being looked at before.
Is it enough?
I think it's a huge step in the right direction. I mean, there's only so much you can do, and I think that the Coast Guard with the head and gut fleet right now is doing everything they can do to make it safer.
Currently in Congress, the House is discussing a new bill that would increase inspections of boats and increase safety regulations. Can you talk a little bit about what that bill would entail?
From what I understand, it's going to create what we call construction standards for vessels, for new vessels over 50 feet. They're talking about having some additional training and licensing requirements for people who operate fishing vessels. It's also talking about doing away with what we call the boundary line and just using the 3-mile territorial sea line as a line to determine things like EPIRB requirements and safety equipment requirements and training requirements. So it would increase the regulatory standards for a lot of vessels that currently don't have to meet those standards.
It also talks a lot about refitting old boats.
Yeah, they're talking about making boats meet classification standards. There's third-party, what we call classification societies all over the world. Every country that's a, quote, flag state has its own classification societies. And there are international classification standards for fishing vessels. And it would, as the way I understand it, is it would make the U.S. start adopting some of those standards.
Are the U.S. standards currently slightly below that?
In the United States, our fishing vessels are primarily uninspected vessels, except for the boats that are in the ACSA program. And there's no requirement to have a license to operate a fishing vessel until it's over 200 gross regulatory tons. So there's, for instance, here in Dutch Harbor, there are a lot of vessels that are 199 tons, 140 tons. So the people operating them and the people working in the engine room don't have to have Coast Guard licenses.
According to this bill, would they start having to have those licenses?
The way I understand it, yeah, I think it's going to require more licensing standards for more vessels than currently have to have licenses, licensed operators.
Do you think this will improve the safety of the fleet overall?
I think, generally speaking, if you have licensing standards, that requires people to get training to document, you know, sea time, that they, you know basic, have basic navigation skills, have at least had basic safety training, things that, you know, firefighting, those kinds of things. So you would assume that it would improve safety.
Would it be feasible to implement all of these out here?
Oh, I think so.
Are there other things that you think the Coast Guard needs to be doing to prevent tragedies like the Katmai or the Alaska Ranger?
Like you say, we've implemented this alternate compliance safety agreement program, and that came about as a result of recommendations made by Coast Guard investigators after the Arctic Rose and the Galaxy accident. So I think the Coast Guard's being pretty proactive already. And I believe that this H.R. Bill 2652 that we were just talking about is a direct result of after the Ranger and the Katmai accident, it certainly bumped all of these proposed regulatory changes up a notch as far as the federal government goes. And the rumor on the street is that there isn't any major opposition to it yet. We'll see.
Were there other things that could have been done looking retrospectively at either the Katmai or the Alaska Ranger, you think?
Well, I think everything that could be done with regards to the Ranger was being done. The Katmai, due to the size of the vessel, it was less than 79. It had fewer than 16 people on board, and it was strictly a, quote, head and gut vessel. The regulatory requirements for that vessel were considerably less than they were for, say, like the Ranger or other head and gut vessels, because they didn't meet the definition of being a processor, because they were less than 79 feet with fewer than 16 people on board. They only had to meet what we call 46 CFR Part 28 subpart A, B, and C requirements. They didn't have to meet the subpart D requirements, the E or F requirements that would address things like watertight integrity and stability. The Katmai, as far as I know, didn't have a current stability book and wasn't required to have one after having been converted from a trawler to basically a longline pot boat that was fishing for black cod at the time of the accident.
So having regulations that do require things like stability end up in the end improving safety for all fishing vessels?
I think so. I think if the operators of the vessel had stability instructions, it may have affected the outcome of that accident or prevented it, because they didn't have any guidance on how to properly load or manage the tanks, the fuel tanks, the consumable liquids in the vessel at the time of the accident. They were, you know, just, well, I guess you would say flying by the seat of their pants.
What kinds of new things were people doing to keep their crews safer here out in the Bering Sea?
There's actually a couple of things. Some of the AXA boats, for instance, have put in watertight door monitoring equipment so that the people in the wheelhouse, the captain and the mates, can actually look at what we call a green board and determine what the condition of all their watertight doors are, whether they're completely closed, ajar, or completely opened. That's something they've just been doing on their own, working with engineers from NIOSH. Some of the longliners have installed rails in the overhead of the hauling station so that the guys working at the hauling station, when they're hauling back their gear, can actually wear a harness and clip into the rail so that there's really no way they can fall overboard. And in general, I just want people to understand that, in my professional opinion, the safety culture here in Alaska, especially Western Alaska, is excellent. Most of the fishermen that I deal with are extremely competent mariners and very professional and take safety seriously. And I think a good indication of that is the fact that in the last 15 years, fatality rates have gone down, and the industry is responsible for much of that, not just the Coast Guard. And also the high participation in the Coast Guard's voluntary dockside exam program. For instance, it's supposed to be a two-year inspection. Most of the people operating out here get their inspections done annually and even have us come down to spot check things when they're not sure or they have questions. They call me and they call us at the office frequently.
That was Charlie Medlicott with the U.S. Coast Guard talking about vessel safety for fishing boats and changes that might come in the regulations.